respond to just some questions that my students are always asking.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to present the question and then be able to give some follow-up questions.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It has to do with pratibandhika jnanam. They all want to know what it means to really have knowledge and what it means to have knowledge with obstructions. So I'd like to just start with that, what Swamiji has to say. Pratibandhika jnanam and jnana nishtha.
Yeah. When this adhikaritvam is on paper, only on paper adhikaritvam. Shama, Dhamma, Uparati, Tidiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam, Vairagyam. So all these are on paper. Anybody who gets into this pursuit doesn't have all the qualifications that they talk about. Therefore, if there is a pratibandha, a cognitive pratibandha, in recognizing what is being taught, there is a pretty big pratibandha. More often than not, there is unconscious. The unconscious doesn't allow the problem to be solved, because its problem is not yet solved. And so, I find that is a cognitive pratibandha. If there is no cognitive pratibandha, knowledge can take place because of the teaching. Pramana vastu is there, pramana is there, knowledge will take place. In the sense, nobody can say, I am ignorant of myself. That person cannot say. One who is exposed to the teaching can no more say, I don't know myself. So that is called jnanam. When one cannot say that I don't know myself, that is jnanam. But that jnanam implies a certain clarity, which we call nishtha. Stha means stay, you know, nishtha is nishtha. So, even Shankara accepts that nishtha. In the 18th chapter, he talks about it. That there is a process of getting this clarity over a period of time. Living one's life, either as a sannyasi or a karma yogi. So all those inadequacies, whatever, in the adhikaritvam, are all taken care of. Then the clarity increases. As it is taken care of, clarity increases. Therefore we call it nishtha. This is only mumukshu anubhava. Logically, it is not possible. This is logically, it's very difficult to establish.
The pratibandhika jnanam?
Logically, you cannot say, because pramana is there, prameya is there, what is the pratibandhika jnanam? How can you call it jnanam and pratibandhika and all that? Logically, you cannot explain. That's why I said, one can no more say, I don't know. Atma is Brahman.
Swamiji, one thing I see though, that with the Drishya Viveka, the recognition of the stability of your being, even the recognition of your being, of the Atma as Brahman, can be there so that the silence, the ongoing presence of yourself in reference to your mind, etc., can be very well known, but that's different than recognizing I am the whole.
I am the whole. No problem.
Yeah.
See, I am the whole also, I am Ishvara. See, the Ishvara Jnanam is always a problem. Ishvara Jnanam is a problem because Ishvara is Sarvajna. To understand Sarvajna is very, very difficult. How are we going to assimilate Sarvajnatvam of Ishvara? Sarvakaranatvam. Sarvajnatvam is Sarvakaranatvam. Sarvakaranatvam is Sarvajnatvam. Because Ishvara's knowledge alone is adhikarya, namarupa. Namni namani. Take a part. It's a nama. And the pot is reduced to clay, another nama, another name. Clay is reduced to atoms, another name. Atom is another name. Particle is another name. All these are names only. Because one is reduced to another. Then what is then one? Nama, nama matra. Therefore, namni namani. In one nama there are many names. So this namni namani is what the truth is. And therefore, the pure nama means knowledge. Word means meaning. Therefore, all the words are all knowledge. Therefore, all that is their words and their meanings. That is what Sarvajnatvam. And therefore, to understand Sarvajnatvam, the structure, etc., it is always a problem. Because Jiveshwara equation, I am the whole in all spheres. Generally, we gloss over many spheres. And there are corners in our buddhi also, where there are some conclusions made of reality conclusion, there are. Vama, there are reality conclusions. And those reality conclusions, so they're all opposed to the knowledge, you know. Some political conclusion, some sociological conclusion, and some value structure conclusion. Means value, certain things are more valuable than others. So there again, then some conclusions are there. Then some prejudices are there. These are all pratibandhas. All these have to go.
And they go in time.
Eh?
They go in time where the recognition, I think the recognition of the self as Brahman is you have it or you don't.
Yeah, because that's partless.
Yes, exactly.
Therefore you have got the knowledge. That's why you cannot say I don't know.
But the assimilation of myself.
Assimilation of my being, everything. Implies all these dark corners being ventilated, light brought in, conclusions. I find the conclusions are too many. And on different spheres. That's why I brought in this assimilation process in the form of Ishvara's order is a very crucial, critical. You have order, the physical order, physiological order. This is what I did. I divided Ishvara as though means divided Ishvara into different orders. And then one Maha order. So that I can cover the areas where I can be caught up. So I Ishvarize every area. Every area, physiological area, psychological area, biological area. So many areas of certain conclusions may be there.
Swamiji, also the assimilation, the gaining vairagya, takes place over time, and that could be part of it too.
There's also vairagya, also gaining vairagya, increasing vairagya. It's all part of the clarity.
There's a life
and growing. Them growing is important.
Swamiji, can I ask another question?
You can ask me.
In terms of the Paribandhika Jnanam, I think Swamiji covered all the things that I wanted Swamiji to wanted to hear. Also, another question is the difference between Vritti-ananda and Swarupananda. To understand, for a student to understand that the Swarupananda is always experientially present as my own being, no matter what the Vritti is, and that the Vritti in no way covers the Swarupananda. In other words, you can have a Dukkha Vritti, but the Swarupananda is not touched.
There the word ananda is only a word, no meaning. Swarupa is Chaitanya. No vritti can cover consciousness. That is the Swarupa. Swarupa means consciousness, Chaitanya, Upalabdhi. Therefore, no vritti can displace consciousness, can cover consciousness, and that consciousness is satyam, is satyam of everything, that is cognitive. But we have to understand that it is satyam of everything, with reference to which I must be no more ignorant, that it is satyam of everything. And therefore it is limitless. That is ananda, ananta. See, satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma, vijnanam, brahma, prajnanam, brahma, vijnanam, anantam, brahma. All these words are out there. For anandam brahma, anantam brahma. Anantam means limitless. Anantam, that which has no anta, means limit. That which is limitless is anantam brahma. Then if I say anandam brahma, it is the same meaning. The limitlessness, wholeness.
But the words, these words, even limitless, wholeness, ananda, have to resolve into one's own self-experience. In other words, if I say the word ananda or the word ananta, I have to know what that means in terms of my own, the self-experience of my own being.
Many experience.
By experience, I mean the swaprakashatvam.
Many swaprakashatvam is experience.
Exactly.
And that is ananda. That is limitless. And the limitlessness you experience in an experience of happiness. But understanding is that I am limitless. Both the knower and known, both of them are one and the same.
Yes, but the point I'm trying to make, Swamiji, is in any given moment of experience, there's, as long as I'm awake, There's going to be a vritti there. But there's also myself. Myself is the changeless presence that's present, pervasive to, and with vritrisha, you know, can be differentiated from the vritti. It's present to, pervasive to, and differentiated from the changing vrittis.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
That which is anvaya, that which is invariable in all the vrittis, that which is the content of every vritti, and no vritti is outside ananda, outside consciousness. So every vritti is consciousness. We have to accept that. Every vritti is consciousness. And therefore, no vritti can displace consciousness. And whatever its swarupa is, its swarupa is limitless, means that also cannot be removed. If the swarupa of the Atma is limitless, then purely cognitive. Why? Because limitlessness is experiential. Generally for an ordinary man, limitlessness is experienced in a moment of joy, in a moment of happiness. That is called vritti gata ananda. The vritti ananda. That is a vritti. Means where there is shanta vritti, there is ananda. So that means the subject object become one and the same. So that is the ananda. Now that is limitlessness. That is the truth. That is the truth. That truth, how can it be negated once I know the truth? My knowledge cannot be covered by any vritti. If I am no more ignorant of the fact, the Atma is both subject and object. If that fact is very well known to me, means I am no more ignorant of it. Then, when is it that I will become ignorant? I won't become ignorant. You cannot become ignorant. Therefore, it's gone means gone. So the limitlessness continues.
But the only thing is, when we say the limitlessness is an understanding, is cognitive, I just want to make one clarification there. The limitlessness of myself is its own experience, it's what prakashatvam, because there's no desha, no kala, there's no time, no space, so
yeah.
There's nothing away from, there's nothing to block my experience of limitlessness in terms of my own being.
Yeah.
As the swaprakashatvam of the Atma. So once the ajnanam is removed, there's no adhyasa.
Yeah.
And so I'm never without the experiential reality of my own being, which is limitless.
Yeah. Correct. That's correct. And therefore, there is no question of gaining, missing it out.
There's no question possibility of, at any time. Yeah. Even Swamiji, see, then if there's a dukkha vritti, for instance, the dukkha vritti in no way covers or detracts or takes away from the swaprakashatvam of my own being.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's like the sun illumining murky water. The sun
that's what it is, you know. They will say, the problem, I know what the student has.
They want the ananda vritti.
Yeah. Because once you know your sachi ananda, why should there be dukkha?
That's another step.
Yeah,
in the problem.
I mean, that's the one. So in the dukkha, but they don't understand what it is all about. See, no vritti can displace my nature. every vritti is my nature. Every vritti does not cover my nature. Like the pot does not cover clay. The pot does not cover clay. Wave does not cover water. And so too, vritti cannot cover Chaitanya. So prakashatvam and the nature of Chaitanya, whatever its nature, limitlessness, whatever, that cannot be covered by anything. If I am no more ignorant of that fact, that remains always. Therefore, even dukkha vritti, if there is some kind of dukkha vritti, either because of prarabdha or because of some residual padava that is there, this is an argument given. Pramana janya jnanam balavat or anubhava is balavat. Somebody is asking a question. Whether pramana janya jnanam balavat. Suppose a fellow loses himself as though he behaves like a karta. He behaves like a bhokta. So, that is possible because karta continues to be, bhokta continues to be. And I am not karta, I am not bhokta, but no karta, bhokta is independent of me. This is the truth. When karta continues, then there is a possibility, let us assume a possibility. There is a possibility the karta and the atma also being taken for karta. Atma also because of a certain kriya. Atma also is taken for karta. Karta is atma and atma also is karta. This is the samsari anubhava. That samsari anubhava can reappear. Atma also is karta as though. A question is raised. That means he has forgotten himself. Due to some reason, there is a self-forgetting. And he again, like old samsari, he takes himself to be karta. A question is asked like that. And drishyate. Punarapi, so the jivan muktaha, whom you say jivan muktaha, a jnani, so jnani pi drishyate. Ajnavat drishyate. Then the answer is given, even suppose it happens, which is balavat, which will prevail, whether the karta will prevail or pramana janya jnanam will prevail, knowledge alone will prevail. See, even though you had corrected the mistake of this rope snake, so corrected the mistake, then the rope continues to lie there. Then again, another time you happen to see, then again you may take it for a snake, then again you correct yourself. But second time correction doesn't take time. It's an instant. Second time. Similarly, in this Maya Jagat, there are a lot of things that can fascinate a person. But the Pramana Janya Jnanam, so what is Mithya can be sometimes Ajdo Satyam, a loss can bring about anguish. A particular loss can bring about anguish. As though So what is lost is mithya. Mithya cannot bring about, loss of mithya cannot bring about anguish. But anguish comes. Therefore, what shall we do now? Anguish will be lost. Anguish doesn't have a support system. The support system is my ajnanam. My ajnanam, error and all that. It's support system. There is no support system. There is nothing to support. That will go away. Therefore, the Nekrim Siddhikara tells that pramanajanya jnanam alone will prevail. Even if it is there, it goes away, it cannot stay. There is no staying power.
If a person has jnana nishtha, I think if it were there, it's always as though. Because he
it's as though, I mean.
Otherwise, it's pratibandhika jnana. And, yeah. Right, and that's what we would use nityasana for.
Yeah. But try we say viparita jnana nivrtyartham. Bhashikara takes nididhyasanam as a part of knowing. He doesn't take nididhyasanam as a means of knowledge. As a part of gaining knowledge, that's all. So that means the process. It is in the process. Mananam is there. In the process, Nididhyasanam also is in the process. So, what we do in that case, Shravanam, Shruti, and Shravanam. Shravanam is analogy of the Shruti. And that Shravanam will take care of Tatparya Nishchaya. Mananam will remove all other doubts. Means Shruti Tatparyam, I am Atma Brahma. Shruti Tatparyam. But the Buddhist says like this, that fellow says like this, this fellow says like this, Shruti says like this, what I should take? Doubt. That is by Mananam remove all the doubts. Seeing the fallacy. Then, viparita bhavana, in spite of my knowing, I have no doubts. But still I feel I am, as though I am the body, as though I am the mind and all that. So they say, like always, you do nididhyasana.
Another question that's asked in, I guess this is going to another question. How does somebody recognize I am the whole? I am Ishwara. What is that realistically from the standpoint of the jiva, the person who has knowledge? How do I look out at this universe and my experience and say I am the whole? What does that mean? Or I am Ishwara. Experientially, Swamiji, in terms of my walking around within the creation, experiencing life.
You know, at any given time you have a subject-object. So you have to deal with only subject-object. Both the subject and object is one and the same. It is the same Chaitanya. That's Satchidatma. Only one subject-object. That can be even contemplation. Yeah. Therefore, it is a constant. Whole lifetime is the Nayat Kalam Nirantaram. But the tradition says, Nayat Kalam Nirantaram. May one spend one's time always contemplating subject to object being whole, being one and the same. That is called whole.
What about prayer, Swamiji? Prayer.
Prayer also is okay. I mean, prayer can be a means for the removal of obstacles, removal of pratibandhakas.
But Swamiji, even as a jnani, if I recognize I am the whole, I am Ishwara, this is all.
No, prayer is only as an individual.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. You can recognize that you are the whole and at the same time be in relationship with Ishwara.
That is also vyavaharika.
Can Swamiji say a few words on
that? That is an enlightened wave. Knowing that I am water, I am ocean, as water, still as a wave it can look at ocean as almighty and then derive some inspiration. I mean, derive some benefit for people, other waves, society waves. So, we can think of their welfare and things like that and pray for.
Yeah.
It's a karma pala. See,
yes,
I tell you what.
An
enlightened person, I am the whole even though he knows, but if he has to reach from this place to that place, he has to walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has to walk. I am the whole, therefore he's sitting here. I don't go there. So, that's not the point. This body is here. Desha, this body is Desha Vachinna. Therefore, this body has to be taken there. And my senses also have got their scope. Beyond that scope, they cannot see. So, I have to keep the senses in a situation from there they can see. So everything is individual, and so he has to go there. If that is valid for him, then Ishwara is out. That is what Ishwara is. That I have to walk is Ishwara. That I have to walk to reach that place is Ishwara. The walking is done because of Ishwara. Whole karma and karma phala is Ishwara. And therefore, it is the same way. Suppose something he wants to accomplish in for the society, and he can pray to Bhagavan. So it's all right.
Swamiji, Durga has a question. Swamiji, is it possible for a person to recognize, when someone speaks of Atma, this must be what they mean, this must be Atma, and yet not know this that the object is the subject?
What is that?
It's the same problem, Swamiji, of recognizing, this must be myself, recognizing through the Drikdrisha Viveka, recognizing, this must be myself. Still some vagueness, but this must be myself, having done the differentiation. But then, not being able yet to make the jump to the self, me, is this whole.
There's a confusion in the self. The word self, when I say, I am that, the subject is the object, then you have to transcend the subject and then transcend the object. And then both subject object as a unit is sustained by one reality. Like in dream, you are the subject and you see the mountain. Both the subject and the object are nothing but consciousness. Waking up, you say that I was the dreamer, I was the dreamt. And even with dreaming also you can do that. Then there is no more dreaming.
Lucid dream.
You have to be awake for that. So, in dream you are under the spell. Similarly, you are also under the spell of duality. then I have to go out of that spell. Then, you know, in while listening, you understand because your whole attention is to see the subject being the self and object being not separate from the self. And that is what happens while listening. Then while dealing with the world, then the person that comes out is the only one who has to deal with the world. See, in the classroom, you are not dealing with the world. You are dealing with the reality of the world. And the reality of object and subject. The whole attention is towards that. But here you are negotiating. You're negotiating something, dealing with it, opposed to that. You have to deal with that. Then therefore, you are constantly challenged by the object. Challenged by the object. Then you become the subject. And therefore, your whole response is to the object. You are not responding from your vision or anything. As a subject only you are responding. So the object influences you, you influence the object. So this is a diet. And this, is, then you have to fall back a little bit. Then look at the whole thing. Then it becomes clear. And that it becomes clear because it's already clear. And therefore we want to bring that clarity again and again to the subject-object situation, that's contemplation. That's why Yajnavalkya, even though very learned person, Yajnavalkya was teaching everybody, learned person, but he wanted to repair to a forest. He wanted to go away. So, that is a life of contemplation. So, I mean, that is why it's a privilege to have that kind of time to contemplate and then to that. And in all situations one can.
Swamiji, for seeing that the subject and this object are the same, I don't see that. So then is it useful to sort of see this is the vritti. I see it as a vritti. And like as in a dream, it's all myself. So in the vritti, it's all myself. Is that the way to see it?
Yeah. It's the same here also. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if Ishvara were to contemplate, he will say, I am the subject, I am the object, he will say. And he has to contemplate how I became the object. And he will say that I am always Sachidananda and I have not become the object. It's all Maya. Ishvara, you imagine, Ishvara is contemplating. So it's like... Yeah, then you say, it's all me. What do you say? Then if you say it's all me, what is that Ishvara? If Ishvara is Sachidananda, then who are you? You are same Sachidananda. It's all me. You can say that. So, kind of contemplation. This is one contemplation I used to make this, yeah.
Swamiji, I think there's a jump from recognizing that my consciousness is totally pervasive to the vritti, and that the vritti is nothing but consciousness, then there's a jump that has to be made to recognizing that the so-called external reality...
It's a problem.
That needs to be dismissed as only consciousness also in order for the vritti consciousness to be valid.
That's the bhagihi. That's the most difficult jump, but a jump to be done. Because when you say outside of what? We have asked a question. Outside of what? That's important. We're afraid of what? Afraid of senses. My senses. One sense organ is the sense of touch all over the body. Therefore, outside the senses is what we say. Nothing more. Outside the senses. And that means, then this outside is within my knowledge. It's not outside my knowledge, outside. Whatever that is outside is within my knowledge. And knowledge is not outside consciousness. And then the outside, so-called the object that is there, so the senses, whatever the senses are, and that is exactly the objects also are. If the senses are one order of Ishvara, the objects are another order of Ishvara. And Ishvara is a conscious being. And Ishvara is Satchidananda. So I am Satchidananda, like this contemplation.
And the logics that show there is no vastu. No one can establish a vastu within duality. That there's nothing here but consciousness.
See, the qualia is only the object is, therefore I see. It's not that I see, therefore the object is. That is idealism. Object is, therefore I see. Therefore the object, how can I be the object? That's the question. You cannot be the object if you are the subject. That is the whole trick. That's a window to understand the whole thing. I am the subject, that is the object. Therefore, this is the duality, drigdrishya. This is jagat, this is srishti. The shastra tells this srishti is not separate from its cause, and the cause is consciousness, limitless, Brahman, which is you. And therefore, we have to see whether this, how that is achieved. The object is achieved. Object is Brahman. We have to see. The object is Brahman means what is the object? It is where understanding is so important. Object is nothing but, we have to reduce it, is pure word meaning. Word meaning. Shirt. That's all. Word. There is no other thing called shirt. Is a word and its meaning. That's it. Word and its meaning means knowledge. Pure knowledge. Word meaning shirt. Because what is there is fabric. And the fabric also is a word and its meaning. What is there is only fabric. Word and meaning. Because what is there is yarn. And the yarn also is word and meaning. Therefore, word meaning, that's all what is there. And word meaning is always knowledge. And knowledge is not separate from consciousness, that is me. Where is outside, where is inside? Contemplation. That's big.
Ha 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 ha.